Hi there, my name's Ross. I'm the guy behind the scenes on the Dead Set Legends each Saturday morning. Thanks for downloading their podcast featuring Barra, Angela Sun, and Australian Sportswoman of the Year javelin star Kim Mikkel. This week we caught up with cricketer Mitch Marsh, who's just been touted by Michael Clarke as the next captain of Australia. We spoke to Wade Kelly about his late wife Kimberly Shepherd and the benefit night he's organised in her memory. And we had a chat with cricket legend Gilly about his autobiography.
Mitch Marsh joins us on the show. Mitchie, how are you, buddy?
Very good, thanks. Thanks for having me on board, guys.
Yeah, I know, you're a humble bugger. How'd you feel when you heard that Clarke had come out and said one day you could captain Australia?
Yeah, look, it was obviously pretty nice. It was a really nice article, actually, that he wrote, and, something that hopefully one day I can look forward to doing, but for now, the big thing for me is just trying to cement my place in that team, and we'll go from there.
And you've recently been playing in Dubai, is that right, in Abu Dhabi? What did you do in your spare time up there? Did you ride camels
shopping
and stuff? Or what's there to do?
I think a lot of the families that were over there certainly got out and did a bit of that stuff, but we spent about 800 hours in the dirt, so I was resting and recovering. So.
Right. Because it's really hot there, wasn't it? It was like 40-something degrees every day.
Yeah, it's probably it was mid to high 30s.
Oh, but, okay. A slight exaggeration
felt in his 40s, so right. Go with that.
These weather presenters, they never get the weather right.
Come on.
Mitch, I have to, along those lines, I saw your sister Mel, who's an athlete in her own right and done very well in her sport. I did see her, though. I don't know if she was embarrassed or not. She's sitting in the crowd, and she'd obviously been shopping at those massive shopping centres in Dubai, and she was showing off what she'd bought, a bag and all this sort of stuff. And they actually, because there was not many people there, they zeroed in on what her shopping was.
Oh, you're joking. That's embarrassing.
Is she embarrassed?
Oh, that's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
Hopefully it was something for me.
No.
You, I didn't get anything.
I reckon she might have done too. But that was the thing. It was, apart from your family, I reckon that there was no one in the crowd. What was that like, playing in front of such a small crowd?
Yeah, it was obviously a bit different. I think for the guys, well, for the regulars in that test team that are so used to playing in front of big crowds, I think it was probably more different for them. We had one day in the Abu Dhabi test where literally probably 20,000 people came in for the afternoon session. So that was good fun. But, yeah, apart from that, the crowds were pretty disappointing. But we're certainly looking forward to the Australian summer because we know great crowds out at all the games.
It's Kim Mikkel here. I heard through the grapevine that you may have a sneaky little crush on the person sitting right next to me as Angela Sun. I don't know if you've heard, but she's actually getting married next week. Are you a bit devastated?
Look, it's not too late, Ange. This is your last chance.
He's going to be big. He's going to be big.
I'm very flattered.
I do remember that, but few of the boys, we used to get on Twitter and try and tweet you to ask you the weather. But
yeah, you were asking me a lot about the weather at one stage there. Every day it was like, what's the forecast, Ange? And I was going, what's going on here?
apologies for the hassles, Ange. No, your future husband's a lucky man.
Oh, thank you. I hope he's listening.
Yeah. And your girlfriend's a lucky girl too, mate. Don't worry about that as well.
She can hear me right now as well, so I'll probably get in trouble.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Mitch, hey, good on you, mate. You're from a wonderful family. Your dad's a cricket great. Your sister's done brilliantly in her sport. Your other brother, Sean's an Australian player as well. What a family it is, mate. Mm. So congratulations on being part of such a wonderful group and also your own career so far.
Thank you, guys, and thanks a lot for the support.
Now, a little bit of an emotional interview here with our friend Wade Kelly because in a couple of weeks' time, at the 27th of November at Gloucester Park, there will be a bit of a fundraiser going on. The rugby league community has gathered behind our mate here, who actually is employed by WA Rugby League. Wade, welcome to the show. Tell us about your role at WA Rugby League.
Thanks, Barra. I work for the National Rugby League. We go out and do school clinics and pretty well run all the junior gala days, go out and help out with the clubs as well, just a bit of admin stuff with those guys, and do a bit of work with the West Coast Pirates Academy and SG Ball programs.
Yeah, so you would have come across a lot of young West Australian boys, and I can tell you in Kununurra, I was up there the other day, they're going beautifully in rugby league, so you're doing a great job there. But, mate, the night is called the Kimberly Shepherd Benefit Night, and well, mate, there's no way around it. You've had some very, very bad luck. You lost your wife in childbirth, but you do have your son, Caden, still. And how are you travelling? How's things?
Mate, about as good as could be expected. We've had a lot of support, which has been unreal. People that I've never met, that she's never met, that have obviously been touched by the story and try to get in touch and do different things to sort of help out. I guess, you know, it's been overwhelming for me and been great that Kaiden and I have got so many people that are looking out for us and trying to help out. And yeah, it's just been pretty full on and been good to have so much support and people rallying around to help out.
And how is it being a dad?
I had nothing. Kimmy had organised everything for us, and I pretty well had put together the baby's room, and that was the extent of it. Her parents were over and sort of asking me where this was and that was, and I just had no idea.
Said, you know. But you've learned, obviously, how to do nappies.
Learn on the run. The hospital was great. They sort of
crash course in it.
Yeah, they did a crash course before they sort of handed him over to me. And
what
said,
about
feeding
then? So you got to, did you get the test the milk on the wrist, see how hot it is, all that sort of stuff?
Well, they changed the theory behind that now. They sort of said you boil the water and just leave it at room temperature until you're ready to put the formula in, which I, you know, that's a bit better for me because otherwise I'd be a bit struggling, I think, to work out the right temperature for him. Yeah, that's it.
But he is beautiful. He must be bringing so much joy to your life.
Yeah, look, he's been perfect so far. Like, I just, you know, his mum said he's probably knows something's going on, so he's had to be this good, and I can't fault him at the moment. And
that's beautiful. Your mum said that, did she?
Yeah, well, if he wasn't that good, I'd be in all sorts, I think. You know, it's been tough enough as is, so to have a bub that was struggling would make it even harder, but he's sleeping well and doing everything else
fantastic.
So far.
Well, good to hear.
So what does the future hold, G-Man? Do you think you'll stay in Western Australia, or will you have to go back to, say, Queensland, where your extended family is?
Yeah, I'm from the Gold Coast, and Northern New South Wales is where most of my family is, so I'll have to do that if I want to work and be able to look after him as well as I possibly can. Kimmy had lined everything up over here as well, and had sort of 6 months maternity leave, and sort of had put a lot of things in place for us. So I think, that's going to be the decision that I've got to make. I've had a fair few people sort of offering to help out. The NRL's offered us the same job over there. It's just about whether or not, hours-wise, you know, that I'm going to be able to do that with a bub. It's something that I'd love to keep doing, but I've had a couple other sort of options thrown out.
Because you don't realise, do you? I mean, it's happened to another mate of mine, a similar scenario, and once he became a single dad, you do have to work, but then you have your kids as well, and it is a massive juggling act.
Yeah, especially for, mate, I can't sit still. So I've been trying to sit with him as much as I can and spend as much time as him. But I think, you know, I've been lucky. My little brother's been dragging me to the gym first thing in the morning, sort of every day after I feed him. And I've been lucky enough to have my nan and my mum around that I've been able to sort of say, can you look after him for an hour while I go to the gym, get out of the house, and just try to get a bit of that, you know, built up energy and a bit of aggression at this sort of time out as well. So, yeah.
Well, tell us about the benefit night. Looks like it's going to be an absolute ripper. Local comedian Peter Rosethorne has come on board, and he's going to be obviously entertaining the crowd that night. And tickets are $100 each, is that right?
Yeah, I've had nothing to do with the planning of this. We've just been so lucky to have a lot of great people sort of throw in their support. I think Gloucester Park's come on board and sort of offered the use of their facilities there, and we've had a lot of people just make contact with the West Australian Rugby League and different people that sort of know someone that knows someone that have expressed interest to help out. And like every NRL club pretty well has been in contact to offer some kind of support, whether it be jerseys or, you know, match day sort of thing. So it's just been, you know, overwhelming and unreal. And
I bet.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. Matt, it I've been astounded too. I'll be the MC, and I think the Eagles and the Dockers and Wildcats and the Glory, everybody's just sort of, they've seen the story on the news. How touched was our newsroom when we saw that? It was very emotional when we saw that story going.
It was tough to read, put it that way. So I can only imagine how tough it's been for you. So, you know, amazing that you're here with us this morning and you're doing all this in Kimberley's honour. It's fantastic.
Yeah, well, a lot of her friends sort of said, you know, if you want to get a bit of awareness out about what AFE is, because that was the biggest thing. I had no idea.
Well, I'd never heard of it before, you know.
We've got half a dozen friends that are pregnant and they've all just started panicking. And I sort of, you know, I feel, you know, bad about that, but I also, you know, really want a bit more done about it because there just seemed to not be a lot sort of happening. But the Perth community, like everyone, has rallied around us. Like we've only been here sort of 2.5 years, and Just that's the amount of support's been,
It's unreal. Like, that's the great thing about WA, isn't it?
Mm. And also about the sporting community as well. Like,
true.
Once you're in a sporting fraternity, they really do look after you in and out of sport as well. And it really shows that, like, obviously all the state sporting organisations have all jumped behind you to help you out, and hopefully a lot more people will from now on as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Kimmy was a dance teacher, her whole dance community and cheerleading community. She co-coordinated the academy down at Safety Bay High. They've been unreal, and the dance community's been really good as well, seeing I've got two left feet, so they're not helping me out.
Two left feet. Well, mate, we'll get right behind it and support you, the Dead Set Legends, no doubt, and Mix 94.5, and we wish you all the best. I know it's not going to make a massive difference to you, but maybe we can help in some small way, and people can go to the WA Rugby League if they want to find out about the event, or we'll put it on our Facebook page as well. So, mate, thanks for making the effort to come in. We wish you all the best, sincerely, and we're right behind you.
No dramas. Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for helping out.
Good on you, Wade. Now, there's a couple of blokes that I admire, and this fella is one of them. His name is Adam Gilchrist, and he's just put out, it's sort of an autobiography. It's called The Man, The Cricketer, The Legend, which sits beautifully for the Dead Set Legends, and he joins us on the line. Morning, Gilly. How are you, mate?
Hello, guys. Yeah, I'm good. How you going?
Yes, so I've read your autobiography, but this is something different, isn't it? This is like a pictorial history of basically your life, and a gutsy effort to... With the photos, mate, there's a couple there. There's you with a bowl haircut, I see, and then some budgie smugglers you're wearing on your honeymoon. Tell us about how hard was that to put them in?
Well, if you're going to do it, you've got to be legit, don't you? So I let it all roll out. As a hairdresser, my father was a wonderful sportsman. some nasty bowl cuts there that everyone will remember from the 70s and 80s. I'm sure I'm not the only one in the world that had it.
Mm-hmm. Now, like the one of my favourite stories, I know you told me this previously, was the Combi story, particularly about when you met your wife, Mel, and your first experience of the Combi family and the Combi, what would you call it? It's almost a lifestyle. And then you've taken that one step further now. You're going to have your own Combi adventure.
Yeah, well, that's right. We grew up in Combis, our family. I was one of four kids, so you needed a big people mover, and much to our embarrassment, it was bright orange with an orange happy smiley face on the front on the spare tyre. So, you know, I used to spend our lives telling Mum and Dad to pull up about a block short of wherever the destination was and getting out, and we'd walk the rest of the way just to save a bit of face in front of the friends. I was begging Mum to do that when we drove in the Mel driveway for the first time when I was at school. We went to school together, Mel and I, and sort of the first date heading into the driveway and again asking her to stop so I could walk, but thought it might work, the relationship, because she had a yellow Combi sitting in her driveway, so a bit of mutual respect there. And indeed, Warren, her father, was about to give away the last Combi in his possession, the sort of last one that they had. And we managed to grab it off him, and we're just getting it refurbed, and we're going to drive it across the desert back over to Perth sometime early next year.
Oh, how good's that? That'll be a great little story. Just one for the news at Mix 94.5, Sachin Tendulkar's new book. I know when everyone puts out a new book, they always try to be a touch controversial, but he said India almost boycotted that series because of, the sledge on Andrew Simons from Harbhajan Singh, allegedly called a big monkey, but he seems to be saying maybe that didn't happen, but you were behind the stumps. I'm pretty sure you would have heard it.
I think we've all sort of, the main perpetrators in that little incident have pretty much all retired now and saved for Harbhajan Singh. So about, you know, Anil Kumble, now Sachin, Ricky, Matty Hayden, Andrew Simons, myself, we've all released our books, and I don't think any of us have got the same story down. So we just need Harbhajan to do his, and we'll have the box set. We can just package that up and get a limited edition, and everyone can read whichever version they want and agree with. But, no real big surprises from Sachi. I think, that there's always a couple of sides to each story, and that's the way he saw it and what he remembers. As I say, there's no big news out of it, and I'm sure he'll sell some books anyway. Or even he didn't need anything controversial in there to have a lot of people buying his books.
Now, mate, all the young cricketers are on their way to cricket this morning, being Saturday morning. What can you give them, mate? Because I noticed in your book there was a little piece of scrap paper that you'd actually written, where you'd written your goal, you'd written your dream down, that one day, or prediction, basically, one day I will play for Australia, and you autographed it. Nothing wrong with that.
I used to hand that out to my mates at school, actually, and say, hang on to it, I'm going to be famous. So my advice to kids is don't be an arrogant idiot like I was at school anyway. Wait till you've actually done something. But
What do you tell the kids? Do you tell them to walk?
Oh, no. They're a bit young to be trying to... Yeah, they make up their own mind, really. I think they're all sort of... you find your way and you go about it how you want to. You play the game probably in a similar way your personality is. Mm. But that's for them to learn and to find out. I wouldn't sort of stand there and with a big stick and say, you've got to do it this way or that way. That's the beauty of sport, isn't it? You just find your way through and learn.
Well, to the kids listening, it's good to have a dream, though. And just for the record, 10 years after you signed one of those things, you did play for Australia. So you delivered, brother.
Yeah, got there eventually. But no, you're right. You've got to have the dream and you've got to have the support of, you know, that's the other thing about junior sport and all the volunteers and parents that help in and make it happen. So with that support, kids can dream.
Good on you, Gilly. It's a great read and a great book to have on your coffee table. The man, the cricketer, the legend. You are a legend. Good on you, mate.
Cheers, Gilly.
Cheers, guys. See you later.